Today's daf is Chulin daf Lamed Gimel, and we will begin 12 lines from the bottom of daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, a very, very important Gemara as it relates to the core sugyas of Masechtas Chulin and a really festive daf. Goof. Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish said, Shachat es hakana, if the shoychet shechted the kana, the trachea, meaning one of the two simonim of a behemoth, va'acha kach nikva hareya, and afterwards the lungs of the animal got a nekev that should technically render the animal a treifa. So Reish Lakish said a chiddush. The Gemara discussed it on the top of the omit ksheira. The halacha is that the behema is going to be kosher. And although technically a nekev in the reya should make the animal a treifa, being that it happened after the shechita of the kana, the animal's not going to be a treifa. Oh my Rava said, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish ela bereya. When Reish Lakish said his halacha, he meant dafka the reya, meaning he didn't just say nikva hareya as an example of a treifa, but rather he meant dafka that example. And the reason is because the trachea is attached to the lungs. And it's for that reason, in halacha, we look at the kana and the reya as being one aver. Being that we look at them as being one aver, and the sheikh had already shechted the kana, he technically killed that aver. So if he killed that aver, the fact that that aver now got a mortal wound doesn't bother me. Meaning, that's Pashit, said Rava, that if an animal would become a treifa in between the shechita of the kana and the veshet, then the animal would be a treifa. And you would not be able to shecht the second simen in a kosher way so that the animal wouldn't be an avela anymore. The reason that this is not an issue is because the reya is attached to the kana, and the shechita already took place in the kana, which means the kana and the reya are technically already dead. If that's the case, it doesn't bother me that the reya has a treifa. The Lashon HaGemara on the top of the Amid was, and this is a very important Lashon HaGemara, is it's keman de mancha bedikula damya. Once you shech the reya, we look at the reya and everything that's attached to it as if it's sitting on a basket. It's not in the animal. And just like if an aver was in the basket, any nekev that it would get would not render it a treifa. For that reason, it wouldn't be a treifa either. Says the Gemara, Avil b'bnei me'ayin. But let's say the b'nei me'ayin, the intestines of the animal, would get a nekev or some other part of the animal. Over there, the halacha would be that it's pashut would be a treifa. Maskef or Rab Zeira asked on Rav. He says, I don't understand. Me'achash anodu basimone treifa hitarta. If you're telling me that an animal that gets a simen of a treifa in between the shechita of the kana and the veshet is not a problem when it happens in the reya. Mali bereya, mali b'bnei me'ayim. I don't hear the chiluk. In other words, Reb Zeira argued fundamentally with Rava's understanding of Reish Lakish. Whereas Rava said that Reish Lakish's case was where nikva hareya between the shechita of the kana and the veshet, dafka the reya, because the reya is attached to the kana. Once you shech the kana, I don't care what happens to the reya anymore. The reason is because the kana and the reya command the mancha b'tikula damya. It's as if they're not even in the animal anymore. So it's pashut that it wouldn't render it a treifa. But Reb Zeira said, I disagree. I don't think it's a svara dafka in the reya, but I think Reish Lakish said it with regards to any aver, even the bnei me'ayim, which are not attached to the kana. The bnei me'ayim are attached to the veshet. But even the bnei me'ayim, if it would get a nekev after the shechita of the reya, it wouldn't be a treifa. And the reason is, like Rashi explains, because Reb Zeira said that I think what Reish Lakish is saying is that an animal, once you shecht one of the simonim, can't become a treifa anymore. It's not dafka the reya because it's attached to the kana, which is punk the simon that you attach. But there's a halacha that an animal could be a treifa if you didn't start the shechita. But once you start the shechita, even if you shechted one simit, nothing to do with yesh lo shechita b'tchila v'atzayif or ein lo shechita el lo b'tzayif. The point is that once you started the shechita, there's only a chatzi chiyos remaining in the animal, says Rashi. At that point, there's no way for an animal to be a treifa. Says the Gemara that even though Reb Zeira was maskifla, he came very, very self-confidently. He asked very strongly on Rava, but the Gemara says, v'hadabei Reb Zeira. Later, Reb Zeira was chayis. How do you know that by Reb Zeira? Reb Zeira cleared a shayla, nikvu b'nei me'ayim in simen l'simen ma'at. What happens if the sheikh had shechted the kana? And then, after the shechit of the kana, the b'nei me'ayim got a nekev that should technically make the animal a treifa. And then he went and he shechted the veshe. Reb Zeira wasn't sure. Mi mitzar of simen rishon v'simen sheni v'tar midein avelo. Do we say that at the end of the day the sheikh shechted both simanim so that this animal will not have tumas nevela? Or do we not say that, and we say that the animal will have tumas nevelo? Now, it's clear, says Rashi, for Abzera Shailo, that Abzera was never proposing that you should be able to eat this animal. The reason is, because at the end of the day, it's a treifa. His Shailo only was, could you be mitztarif to two shchitos, the shchit of the simen rishon and the shchit of the simen sheni, to say that although you can't eat it, because it's a treifa, but at the very least, it shouldn't be a nevelo, so it shouldn't be tumas. But what's the difference between a treifa and a nevelo? You can't eat a treifa, you can't eat a nevelo. They're both alav sheish by maisa. They both involve malchus. What's the difference between a treif and a velo? The difference is tumah. A treifa has a kosher shchita. Being that it has a kosher shchita, there's no tumas nevela. A nevela never had a kosher shchita. As a result, there's always going to be tumas nevela. So Rav Zera Shaila was in this case where nikvu bnei meayim bein simen lesimen. Do you say that at the very least there's a shchita to say that it's not a nevelo so that there won't be tumas nevelo? Or no, you can't eat it and it's not even tumas. Now what's the shiloh? So Rashi explains the shiloh was as follows. The shiloh was that maybe the only time you can be mitzvah of the two simonim is if the two simonim were doing the same thing. In this case, the two simonim were not doing the same thing. The first simon, its shchita took place before nikva b'nei me'ayim, which means that shchita was able to be mitahir the animal midei tumas nevela, and also be matarit la'achilo. The second simen happened after it already obtained this wound. As a result, it didn't have the ability to be matarit ba'achilo. All it had the ability to do was to be matarit midei nevela. So being that the shchita of the two simonim are not accomplishing the same thing, so Reb Zera was clearing alumnus, maybe that means that you can't even be mitzarif the shchita of the two simonim. The Gemara said after Reb Zera declared the shayla, v'amrina, and the oilam told Reb Zera, lav hainu de boy ilfa, isn't this ilfa shayla? What did ilfa clear? Hoitzi uber es yodai, dein simen le simen, if an Uber. So who was Ulfa? No, stuck his hand out. No, we'll have to wait for the rain. Exactly. Hoitzi Uber. That's the other been similar to Simba. What happens if the Uber would stick his hand out? One word. So Ulf and Shaila really requires a little bit of background. And that is, the halacha is that if you shecht an animal, a female animal, and the animal had an Uber, the halach is the shechita of the mother works for the uber as well. Stating that it only works if the uber never left the mechitzos of its mother. But let's say before the shechita, the uber stuck its hand out of the mother's guf. The halach is that would cause that the shechita wouldn't work. Now that's only true with regards to the shechita being matter the uber la'achim. But despite the fact that the shechita does not work to be mata the uber la'achila, it would work to be moitzi midei nevela. So Ilfa Kleder, a very similar shayla to Reb Zera shayla. Shayla was, what happens if the uber stuck its hand out being similar simen? Mi amina, do we say mitztarif simen rishon l'simen sheni l'tar midei nevela? Do we say that at the very least the two simonim could be mitaher this uber midei nevela, or maybe not? And what would be the svara not? The same svara like we said before. Because the shechita is accomplishing something different with regards to the simen rishon than it is with regards to the simen sheni. The simen rishon happened before the uber stuck its hand outside of the body of the mother. As a result, that shechita technically was able to be moitzi the uber midei nevela, was also able to be matarit ba'achila. The second simen happened after it was ready hoitzi uber esyada. At that point, all it had the ability to do was to be matari midei nevela. So the shayla could have been mitzar. But either way, so they told Reb Zera, your shayla is all for shayla. But what's the bottom line? What do we need from here? Atkan everybody learn el time midei nevela. What was Reb Zera's shayla? If netkva b'nei me'ayim bein simen l'simen, it's poshi not let it eat it. The shayla was, do you have tumas nevela or not? This lundish a shayla, could you be mitzarif to two shchitas, being that the two shchitas are technically not on the same level? Avo b'achila asur, but every regis is going to be also b'achila. The kash is, if Reb Zera said that when Reish Lakish said his halacha of shachat as hakona v'achak nikva rei, k'sher was lav dafka rei, even the b'nei me'ayim, then in that case, this is a regular good shchita. The fact that it became a treifa in between the two simonim is not a problem, because at that point, it only had a chatz and ain't treifa b'chatzin chios, says the Gemara Malir of Achabara. Ravino, duma lo'ilam le'hadabe. It's not muchach that Reb Zera was chayzer from his understanding of Reish Lakish from the fact that he cleared this question, because it could be Reb Zera l'dvar v'der Rav ha'kama v'lei le'sir. It could be Reb Zera was only clearing the shayla libe the Rava, but as it relates to he himself, he never held that way. The bottom line is, Reish Lakish said a very, very important halacha. Reish Lakish's halacha was, nikva hareya, between the shechita of the kana and the shechita of the veshet, the halacha is ksheira. I mean, the machloikis is Rava and Reb Zera. Whether Reish Lakish meant dafka nikva areya, because the reya is attached to the kana, and once you Shecht the kana and the rea are command the mancha b'dikula damya. And as a result, any nekev that it attains can't affect the animal anymore. Or did he lav dafka mean the rea? He just mentioned the rea as an example. But even if it was the b'nei me'ayim, which is not attached to the kana, it's attached to the veshed, over there you would have the same halacha. It would seem to be a machloikis, rava and rabzer. But the Gemara continues with a very, very important halacha related to Reish Lakish. Very long, the Shigemar. Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, Shmami, no, Madrib Shem ben Lakish, Lechura, you could be Mechiach from Reish Lakish as halacha, that Mezamnin Yisrael al B'nei Meyayin, Ve'im Mezamnin Oibnei Lechavim al B'nei Meyayin. That if you want to invite a Yid over to your house, that he should eat a meal with you, you could serve him even the B'nei Meyayim of the animal. But you can never invite an Oibnei Lechavim to your house, have dinner with you, and serve him the b'nei me'ayim. My time. What's the reason? Yisrael the b'shchita tal yomil, so a yid is allowed to eat an animal as soon as it has a kosher shchita. As given the ikah shchita mal yisa, ishtir ilo. Everything in the animal is mutter to be eaten. Oiv deki chavim, but a guy, the b'nechira sagilu, a guy doesn't need shchita in order for him to be able to eat food. A guy has the sheva mitzvah, one of which is eva menachar, which means he's not allowed to eat a live animal. He can't even eat an eva that came off of a live animal, even if later the animal died. It doesn't matter. Any aver that departed from an animal while it was alive is a problem. But in order for there not to be an Isra Eva Menachai, all you need is Nechira. You just need that the animal should be dead. It has nothing to do with Shechita. If that's the case, Ubemisa Talia Milso, the guy needs the animal to be dead when the aver of the animal departs from the animal, Hanik Eva Menachai Damu. The B'nei Me'ayim are always going to be considered Eva Menachai. What's the reason? The reason is very simple. Because the definition of Shechita is Shechita's Beis Simonim. The simonim are the kana and the veshet, the trachea and the esophagus, respectively. The metzias says that after the shoychet shechts, the two simonim, the animal's still alive. It's what we know as mifarcheses. It's a very short period of time, it's a few seconds, but for a few seconds after the shechita of the kana and the veshet, the animal's still alive. Listen to the lumdus of the Gemara. If Reish Lakish said that as soon as you shecht the kana, the rea, which is attached to the kana, is command the mancha b'dikula damya. It's as if it's not part of the animal anymore. So much so that if it gets a nekev, it wouldn't make the animal puzzle. The same should be true with the b'nei me'ayim after you shech the veshet. The b'nei me'ayim should be command the mancha b'dikula damya. It should not be part of the animal anymore. That means every single time a shoychet shechts, he shechts the kana, then he shechts the veshet. So anything attached to the kana and the veshet is not part of the animal. The animal's still alive. It's still mefarcheses for 3 seconds, whatever. But the animal's still alive, and at that point, those evarim are not part of the animal. You know what a chelik of an animal that leaves the animal while the animal is alive is called? It's called evim menachat. Now, for a yid, it's not an issue. Because although it's true, technically, from a lumdis, from a halachic standpoint, the evarim, evim menachat, this is so geschmack. But at the same time, he did a shechita. And by a yid, b'shechita tal yirachmana. But a guy has nothing to do with shechita. When you look at a guy, could a guy eat this or not eat this? Very simple. Is the animal alive or is the animal dead? So if you do a kosher shechita, you do shechita's beis simanim, it's very nice you have a kosher shechita mahajim and a mahajim. But being that the animal's still alive, a guy's still not allowed to eat from it. If that's the case, the rei, the b'nei me'ayim, all these things that are attached to these evarim, if they, breathe, these things left the animal while the animal was still alive, l'chura, said, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, a chiddush neira, ein mezamnim oivdei kechavim al b'nei me'ayim, but mezamnim Yisrael al b'nei me'ayim. In other words, it's going to come out that a yid is allowed to eat the b'nei me'ayim of an animal that had a kosher shechita, but a guy is not allowed to eat the b'nei me'ayim of an animal that had a kosher shechita. Rapapa said a little bit of drama. I was sitting in shit when Rav Acha bar Yaakov said this. And I was dying to ask the following question. He said, how is this possible? No such thing. How could it be that the B'nei Me'ayim is mutter to a yid and it's aser to a guy? He didn't ask the kasha. And I assumed the timer comer. Because Mr. Rav Acha bar Yaakov said a timer comer. It says the Gemara stating that Tanya the late Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that Rapapa really should have asked the question, because as we're going to see now, we have a mefurish price and algrakdo, right? So lechem lehem, according to Tetzin after, somebody wants to eat from an animal and he wants to eat it before the animal actually dies. We'll see in a moment that apparently it was considered healthy to eat the meat that departed for an animal while it was alive. Problem is, it's Eva Menachai. But if somebody wants to do it, there's a way to do it. Chayta kazai is basa mi beis hashchita. You take off a little bit of basa from the beis hashchita. Just practically, it's easier to do it from the beis hashchita. Umolcha yafa yafa. You have to do a melicha, obviously. Umadicha yafa yafa. You have to wash it, obviously. Umamtum lacha teitzei nafsha. And you wait for the animal to die. Va'oichloi. And the price says, Echad evi kechavim. Ve'echad evi Yisrael mutarim boy. A yid's allowed to do it and a guy's allowed to do it. Now, a yid's allowed to do it, we understand. Because once it has a kosher shchita, even if it's still alive, it's mefarchesa. says, but b'shchita tayi rachmana. But why is a guy allowed to do it? L'chura by a guy b'nechira tayi rachmana. So if it's totally a nechira, it should not be okay. The reason is like Rav Papa wanted to ask, because mi ikum midi de l'Yisrael shari levi kichav maser. At the end of the day, if it's mutter for a yid, it has to be mutter to a guy. And the Gemara says, Messiah le Rabbi de Bar Abba, no Rabbi de Bar Abba, no Rabbi Yitzchuk Bar Ashkenaz, no Yitzchuk Sheyavri. Somebody wants to be healthy. Choytech kezayis pasa mi veishchita shel behema. You should cut off a kezayis pasa from an animal while it's alive. Umocha yafa yafa, umadicha yafa yafa, umamtlan shatetzin nafsha. Echad oivik kichavim, echad Yisrael mutarim. But again, Yisrael, we understand. But why a guy? Isn't that Eva Menachai 101? The answer is yes. But at the same time, there's a rule. Mi ikum midi, dili Yisrael, shari, ula oivet, koi chavim, asa. So the Gemara comes out with a machloikis, Rav Acher by Yaakov, and other Amayron. At the end of the day, the Gemara seems to bring a brisa that resolved this dispute, and that is that even though in Svara the Gemara wanted to argue that it would make sense that Eim Mezamnin Oiv Dekachav Al Bnei Meayim, and the reason is based on Rish Lakish's lumbus, that as soon as you shech the kana and the veshet, anything attached to the kana and the veshet is command the mancha b'dikula damya, even though the animal is still alive, it b'chura then by definition means that it's Eivim and Achai, but being that it's mutal Yisrael, because for Yisrael, the definition of whether something's Eivim and Achai or not depends on Shechita, just like a Ben Pekua, Yisrael's allowed to eat it, but Noach's not allowed to eat. Why? Because Ben Pekua had to have the Shechita of the mother. The point is, b'shechita tayi rachmana, so that even though technically for the goy, it should not be okay, but based on me, it immediately Yisrael, shari, levi kechav maser, it would be okay, and that seems to be the maskana sagamar. Stating that, the achroinim, and it's the Pesachei Tshuva brings the Achroinim in Hilchos Shechita in Simin Chav Zayin, the Tfuah Shor and others say, what would be if a Shoichet was doing Shechita and it was a Shechita Psula? So for example, he messed up, there was Shia, there was Chalada, there was Drasa, he did a Shechita Psula. He shechted the two simanim, that's how he killed the animal, but the Shechita was not a kosher Shechita. And being that it's not a kosher Shechita, it's going to be an avela. Say the Achroinim, it should come out that in that case, you would not be allowed to give the Bnei Me'ayim to a guy. Why not? Because really, the guy is not allowed to eat the Bnei Me'ayim. The reason is because it's Eivim and Achai. Because as soon as you shecht the Kana and the Veshet, we look at the Bnei Me'ayin as if they command the Mancha B'dekuladan. The problem is the animal's still alive for a few seconds. If that's the case, it's as if you remove the Eivim from the animal while it was alive, so that even if the animal dies later, it's going to be Eivim and Achai. Now the Gemara said that it is okay. Rav Acher B'Yaakov said it wasn't okay, but Rav Papa said he wanted to ask the question, and we had a Brisa, and we had a Misayeli. The Gemara came out that it's that a guy is not allowed to eat it. That guy can't eat it. Why could the guy eat it? Because being that the yid's allowed to eat it, because for a yid it's tali and shchita, me ik immediately Yisrael shari ula ayva kechav masa. But that say that achroid and the tefuah shari and others, that's only going to be true if at the end of the day the yid's allowed to eat it. But what happens if the yid can't eat it anyways? The reason the yid can't eat it because there was a shia, because there was a chalada, because there was something wrong with the shchita. If that's the case, it's hadar dina that it's going to be aser to a guy. And it's based on this shita sachar. Not everybody agrees, the pichadash argues, but based on this shita sachroinim, it's the shita of the tashbits, of the pritoyar, of the tfuashar, and other achroinim. Based on that, the shoyol in Shailos Teshuvos Chasam Sofer, it's in Yoyer Day, Simon Yotest, he told his Rebbe, he sent the Shailo, it's a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, he said, Rebbe, I have a big problem. Because what do the schlachthoises do? What do the slaughterhouses do when they have nevelos and treifas? They sell everything to a guy. So he says, I don't understand. How you let us sell to a guy? It's true, nevelos and treifas, mutabahana. But you have a different problem over here. The problem is, what happens with an animal that was nisnavla at the time of the shechita? You're going to sell the entire animal to the guy. The guy is going to eat the animal. Every part of it, even the Bnei Me'ayin. The problem is, the Bnei Me'ayin is Eivim and Achai. It's Eivim and Achai because of Reish Lakish's lumdis, and being that even a yid's not allowed to eat it, you don't have the meek immediately, Yisrael, Shari, Ulaivik, Kechav, and Masr. See, he says a very big problem. See, he came up with an eitzah, he wrote a whole kuntres to the Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, and he wanted Haskama from his Rebbe on his kuntres to. It's called Mechiras Bnei Me'ayin Levnei Noach. It basically worked like a Shtar Mechira. You sell it to a non-Jewish employee. And that he had some sort of etza how this was all going to work. The Maisa, the Chasam Sofer, wrote back to his Talmud that, number one, I disagree with your etza. I think that your eitz is causing more problems than it's actually solving. And then he spoke to him about, in general, doing things differently than we have in Mesaira. And the Chassam Sofer says what he said all the time, V'chol mili tuva ein lemayr lechadish iser u'mikol shken heter ki minig Yisrael toirehi v'aklal ha'chadash asim in ha'toireh b'chol mokim. Chassam Sofer always said this, v'hayoshan u'miyushin m'shubach mimenu. So I would rather do things the way we've always done it and figure out why it's right, rather than come up with chadash, something that no one's ever heard of. So the question is, tachlis, a very good question though. At the end of the day, how are you going to explain this? Said the Chassam Sofer that the pshat as follows. He says, the emes is, he says, he's had conversations with shaykhtim, and he says, ruba de ruba of nevelas and treifas that are found in shlachthoises are really only Suffolk nevela and Suffolk treifa. He said, it's a fact. It's very hard to find a real nevela. He says, usually it's all based on a Suffolk, and we're very machmer because it's Suffolk deiraisa when it comes to machalas hasurais, and as a result, anytime there's a little bit of shayla, we get rid of it. Now, Suffolk nevela, you have to go to Chumrah. Why? So we already had the Gemara a few times in Masechta Schulin, but it's something that everybody knows. The reason is because of behemoth, Becheska Sisser, I meant this. Every animal is Becheska Sisser. Now, if you ask the man on the street, why is an animal Becheska Sisser? Right? If you have a shayla now, if the shechita was kosher or not, it's a Suffolk. I don't know. What do you do with a Suffolk? If you don't know what to do, it's a Suffolk deiraisa lechumrah. But maybe you do know what to do. Chazal karayv, right? Let's sit down and try to figure out. Maybe there's a way to be machriyah the Suffolk. So the first thing you're going to say is, cheskas iser. Chulin daf tesam and olive. You're going to tell me cheskas iser. What's the cheskas iser? Eva menachai, right? When the animal was alive, it was also bachila. But the truth is, it's not so poshid. It's a gemara in the end of Masechta Chulin. At Tosfos in many places in Shas, Zokta Chassam Sofer is machriya that it's a dover poshet that an animal does not have a cheskas iser of Eivir Menachai. And the reason is because when an animal is alive, it's not a medes lachilo. The only time it would have a cheskas iser, if you have a piece of meat that's sitting on a plate and it's a cheskas iser, that would be a chazaka. But a live animal doesn't have a cheskas iser of achila because it's not a medes lachilo. And it's based on a sugi in the end of Masechta Chulin. So Tosfos says throughout Shas that the Gemara says that an animal has a cheskas iser, it's a different chazaka. It's the chazaka of einoy zavuach. That's what it's known as in yeshiva. Cheskas einoy zavuach. And cheskas einoy zavuach is because in order to eat from an animal, you need a shechita. And an animal's becheskas that it didn't have a kosher shechita. So the reason every time there's a suffix shechita, the animal is also b'achil, it's not because of the cheskas eiv menachai. It's because it's becheskas that it didn't have a good shechita. Hagufa. It's what's known as cheskas einoy zavuach. Says the Chassam Sofer, cheskas einoy zavuach is a chazaka when we're dealing with a yid. Because a yid has a mitzvah shechita that he needs to accomplish before he's able to eat a piece of meat. But a benayach doesn't have shechita. For a benayach, all you need is that the animal should not be alive. If all you need is that the animal should not be alive, if you have a dead animal in front of you, it doesn't have a cheskas iser, it has a cheskas heter. Right, when the animal's alive, there was no chazaka. When does the chazaka come into effect? It's a very simple lumdus. When the animal dies. So if it's a yid, so you have to know, was the animal zavuach or not? It's becheskas that it wasn't zavuach. It wasn't zavuach when it was born. So when did the zvicha go into effect? So it's becheskas ain't zavuach. As a result, every time you have a sofik nevela, you have to go to chumrah. But a guy doesn't need zvicha. All you need to know with a guy is that it's dead. It's dead. It's a piece of flesh right now. So obviously it's not alive. There's no cheskas ain't zavuach. As a result, when it comes to a guy, every time you have a sofik, you're going to be able to go to kula. So Sedech Sam Sofer Dover Nifli said most nevelas are anyways only sofik nevela. If that's the case, it's true for a year to sofik nevela. You have to get rid of it. Why do you have to get rid of it? Because you have a cheskas ein zavuach. You're not allowed to eat it. But for the benayach, it's not a problem. And being that it's not a problem for the benayach, it's going to be okay. So he says, at the end of the day, all it is a suffix. And being that all it is a suffix, you're allowed to give it to the guy. The reason you're allowed to give it to the guy, because the guy is allowed to eat suffix nevela. Azoy zok t'chsam soifer. Then the Chassam Sofer continues, and he says that the emes is, I'll tell you another svara. Va'oy nirali. And it makes a beautiful diak. He says, when the Gemara said that you're not allowed to give the Bnei Me'ayim to a guy. So what was the Lashon HaGemara? The Lashon HaGemara was, Ein mezamnim oivdei kichavim al Bnei Me'ayim. Ein mezamnim, he's not allowed to invite an Ein Yehudi to your house and serve him the Bnei Me'ayim. Why the Lashon HaGemara of Ein mezamnim? Why does it say simple? You're not allowed to give him. Right? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to be moishet the koisi ayin lenozer. You're not allowed to hand Eivim and Achai to a guy. So what's this Lashon of Ein mezamnim? So he says that the pshat is as follows. He says that the Tosfos in Masechtas Gittin daf samach aleph amid aleph, and he says Tosfos in Masechtas Avodah Zarah daf tesvav amid aleph say a very, very important yisoid in the laws of lifnei iver loisitei michshol. And that is the only time there's a problem with lifnei iver loisitei michshol is if you know for sure that the person's going to do an avera. But any svara that you can ever be toilu lahakel, When it comes to Lifnei Iver, you're allowed to be toilet. It's a very big chiddush. Let's speak out one of the makaris. And that is, there's a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin Daf Samech Aleph from an Aleph. The Mishnah says, Mashalas Isha L'chavirta HaChashuda Al HaShviyas Nofa V'kivro Rechai V'taner. What happens if there's two ladies, they're neighbors, and one of them is Chashud on Shviyas? It happens to be Shviyas. She gets a knock on the door. My mother wants to know if she could borrow a pot. Your mother wants to borrow a pot. What's she going to use it for? For Shvi'ah's pay rice? So l'churi you think, you're not allowed to lend it to her. You're going to be evil if they even like see tamichsha. Says the Mishnah, it's okay. And the reason it's okay is mipnei darkei shalom. Meaning, if not for darkei shalom, it'd really be a problem. But Chum said a chiddush mipnei darkei shalom, even though there's an issa Shvi'ah's going on over here, we allow you to do it. Tosfos asks a kasha that there's a Mishnah, Masechta the Shvi'ah's, that says, Beis Hillel says, you're allowed to sell a para to a person that's chashad al Shvi'ah's. Machlokes b'sham b'sil, b'sham says you're not allowed to because you're afraid that the person who's chashad al shvi'as is going to use the par to do work in the field. B'charish v'katzat tishbais, you're not allowed to do work on the field on shvi'as. But b'sil says it's okay. Why is it okay? Because we could assume that maybe the person is using the para to shecht and to eat, not to work in the field. It's a freit tosis akasha. If that's the case, then you see you're allowed to make assumptions when it comes to lifnei iver, specifically with regards to chashad al shvi'as. So why in our Mishnah do we have to come out to darkei shalom? The still shita is that you're always allowed to make assumptions. So why can't we make an assumption over here? That's tosis akasha. V'im Rabbeinu Tam, the obvious answer. You know why in our Mishnah we had to come out to darkei shalom? Because there were no assumptions to make. There's absolutely positively no assumption to make. And as a result, the only svara that says that you're allowed to give these kalim to a woman that's chasha ala shviyas on shviyas, ayo evil if neiver, it's because of a new chiddush mipnei darkei shalom. But enachinami, to the extent that you can make an assumption, it doesn't matter what the assumption is, as Tosfos, you always have a right to make assumptions. And it doesn't matter how far-fetched it may seem. And says the Chassam Sofer, this is an important yisoid in Lifnei Iver L'Sita Michshol. Even though Tosfos doesn't speak it out as if it's important yisoid in Lifnei Iver, but it is, says the Chassam Sofer. What Tosfos is essentially saying, that when it comes to Lifnei Iver, you're allowed to be toigel l'hakel. And any svara that you can come up where maybe this person is not going to be doing an Avera, you have a right to make such an assumption and assume that the person is not going to do it. He has another Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. But the bottom line is to the extent that there's any svara to be toila, that my act of lifnei iver is not really lifnei iver, you have a right to do that. Based on that, says the Chassam Sofer, I'm going to tell you two gemaras. This gemara Masechtas Nedarim Daf Nun Dalad Amid Beis. The Chein Hayir Rab Shimon Gamliel Loimer Kirvayim, the intestines of an animal, lav basar. It's not meat. Va'ichleim, and someone that eats it, lav bar inish. As Nish Kai mentioned, human beings do not eat. Incidentally, you know what the kirvayim of an animal is? I think it's the Israeli kishka, but I'm serious. But either way, v'amru chazal, there's another gemara. Shabbos kuf mem beis amid beis. Tovi bar avza, a person should roast the bar avza, v'shadi b'nei me'ayim l'shunra. But take the... Take the bnei me'ayim and give it to the shunra. Right? Don't eat it. So two gemaras that people, Pashut mentioned, did not eat the bnei me'ayim. So it says the Chassam Sofer, what are you worried about? You're worried that the guy is going to eat the bnei me'ayim. I'm not worried. Because it's a gemara in the Dorim, and Dalim, and Beis, that people don't eat the bnei me'ayim. And it's a gemara that you're supposed to give it to the shunra. If that's the case, it's enough of a svara that you could be toivel l'hakel. He says, that's the diak in the gemara. The gemara said, ein mezamnin. You're allowed to give it to a guy. You know why you're allowed to give it to a guy? The same way you're allowed to sell a para to someone that's chashan at shvi'as on shmita, because you don't assume he's going to use it for shmita. What do you mean he's going to? No, you don't have to make the assumption. Here too, you don't assume he's going to eat it. Why don't you assume he's going to eat it based on the gemara in the daughter, based on the gemara over here? Half of a fella, right? But as it relates to what's it called, either way, that was the Chassam Sofer. Two mahalchim to answer this kashi. He told the Talmud we don't need the contras, but he said two mahalchim why it's okay. Number one, because right nevela is anyway suffic, so it's true for us. We have the cheskas in zavuch. It's going to be a problem. But as it relates to the Ben Noyach who doesn't have the cheskas in zavuch, what you're left with is a suffic. You're left with a suffic. For him, it's going to be okay. Number two, being that when it comes to lifnei iver, you're allowed to be toila in any kula, any svara lahakel. You have a right to be toila. Over here, we can be toila lahakel, and it's based on that. Sedech Sam Sofer is going to be okay. Incidentally, at the end of this tshuva, there's a second part to this tshuva. Sedech Sam Sofer told this Talmud that I'm going to attach to you a shtickle Torah that I wrote on this inyan that I wrote when I was younger. In the Nuch Sam Sofer's, not the ones printed in 1871, but in the but in the new Chassam Sofers, so on the bottom, they bring an extended version of what the Chassam Sofer told his Talmud when he attached this. So he writes like this, V'gam atik l'cho mashe kosafti b'mei churfi b'nyonim elu. Hagam ki dekatnusehi. Amazing, this is what Chassam Sofer is writing. It's a davar katan. Ulai timatze by davar taif. Maybe you'll find something there, a little raid. Aval ein lismoich al advar mehem ledina. But he says, don't rely on that ledin, ki kosafti b'yaldus, because I wrote it when I was younger. So he says, I don't want you to rely on this halacha. I just thought it was interesting because the Velt says over that the Ramshik used to say about the Chassam Sofer that if you look at the tshuvas that he wrote when he was younger and you look at the tshuvas that he wrote when he was older, that it's impossible to know which one he wrote when he was, which is very, very rare. Chassam Sofer wrote tshuvas over a 40, 50 year period. And he said it's like, it's impossible to differentiate. Usually you would think with time, style, which like, there would be natural things that would impact the tshuva, right? But the Chassam Sofer said his tshuvas were literally the same, toichen kebaron, from the beginning to the end. And he said, I think, metaphorically, he said that because the tshuvas of the Chassam Sofer were halachos lemoisha, pun intended, misinai, and he said they were written Baruch HaKodesh, and being written Baruch HaKodesh, so there was no wear and tear. You didn't have the natural causes and effect that would affect a regular person. And he said the tshuvas that the Chassam Sofer, when he was young and older, it's all the same. Here the Chassam Sofer himself writes to his Talmud, says, I don't want you to rely on this, that I'm writing in my tshuva, because I wrote it when I was younger. But either way, that concludes the first talmud. Let's finish the daf, and then if we have some time, we'll speak out the second dari. Either way, so the Gemara now is going to turn its attention really for the next three dafin, and it's going to discuss the laws of Tumah v'Tahira. So just a little bit of background. So we're all familiar with the basic concept of Tumah. Today we don't really live with the laws of Tumah v'Tahira, Tumah Snida, but there's not a lot of Tumah v'Tahira that we live with today on a Kayin's not to be Matam of the Mace, but very, very, very. But once upon a time, Tumah v'Tahira took up a very, very important part of the daily life of a Yid. And we know that there are different sources of Tumah. A mace is a source of Tumah. You have the Shemayin Ashratzim. We're learning Masechtas Chulin, which deals a lot about the Nevela. The Nevela of a Behema, the Nevela of an Oif, different types of Tumah. You have a Zav, you have a Zava, you have a Nida, you have a Metzaira. Most things that are Tumah are known in Tumah V'Tahira terminology as an Ava Tumah. Av in the sense that it's a source of Tumah. A mace is an Avi. Avi is a Tumah, but we're not going to be discussing Tumah's mace. Most sources of Tumah is called an Av HaTumah. If an Av HaTumah is metame something, comes into contact with something, that thing that it came into contact with now becomes Tumah, right? You touch someone that's Tumah, you become Tumah. It's like it's viral. That's Tumah spreads. So if someone touches something that's Tumah, it too becomes Tumah. Stating that, it loses a certain level qualitatively of the Tumah that it now has. So if something became Tumah because it came into contact with something else that's Tumah, so from a big picture, both things are Tumah. But from an Echos perspective, they're not Tumah on the same level. There's an Echos Darga. Although the thing is Tumah, but it's on a lesser extent. It's what's known as a Rishon L'Tumah. If a Rishon L'Tumah touches something else, that thing will be Tumah, but it too is going to be on a lower Madrega. It's going to be a Sheni L'Tumah. If a Sheni L'Tumah touches something, that thing will be Tumah, a Shlishi L'Tumah. If a Shlishi L'Tumah touches something, that too will become Tumah. It's what's known as a Revi L'Tumah. Now, just a few very important halachas. Number one, Chulin can never become a Shlishi L'Tumah. That means the highest level of Tumah, or the lowest level of Tumah, that Chulin can ever attain is a Sheni L'Tumah. So, a Rishon touches Chulin, given certain parameters, Chulin could become a Sheni L'Tumah. But if a Sheni L'Tumah of Chulin, let's say, will now touch another piece of Chulin, that thing will not become Tumah. It stops there. Chulin can never become a Shlishi L'Tumah. Shruma could become a Shlishi L'Tumah. Shruma, however, can't become a Revi L'Tumah. So you can never have a Revi L'Tumah that's going to be Truma. Kachim could become even a Revi L'Tumah. So you have Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi. The highest level of Tumah that Chulin can have is Sheni. Meaning you'll never have Chulin that's a Shlishi L'Tumah. Chulin that's a Sheni, or Truma that's a Sheni, or Kachim that's a Sheni, can make Truma or Kachim into a Shlishi. It can't make Chulin into a Shlishi. Truma is the highest level of Shlishi. A Shlishi could not make Chulin or Truma into a Revi. It could, however, make Kachim into a Revi. I hope that made sense. Either way, it's like the Mishnah. If somebody shechts a Behema or a Chaya, or a knife. These things are all important. And he did a very clean job. No blood came out of the animal. The halacha is ksherim. The shechita is kosher. It seems like there would have been a havamina that if no dam came out of the animal, maybe that should be a reason in and of itself that the shechita should be possible. Says the Mishnah, no, it's going to be kosher. Additionally, a very big chiddush. You're going to be allowed to eat the meat of this animal. You can take the meat out and you can eat it even if your hands are tameh. And the reason is, because we know that in order for food to become tameh, it first has to be hukshar lekabel tameh, which means it has to become wet with some mashka. If it doesn't become wet, you can touch it with hands that are tummy from today till tomorrow. It in of itself won't be, even if a sheretz falls on it, it won't be tummy. So we're discussing someone that's a sheichet, he's shechting, and his hands are tummy. The question is, could he take a piece of meat out now? Could he eat it? So the halacha is that usually no, because usually the basar is automatically going to become huchshel lekabel tuma, because the bloody situation, the blood that came out of the animal, is going to cause the basar to become now huchshel lekabel tuma. So if your hands are tummy, you're now going to be metama the basar. But in the event that you were able to shech, so not only is it kosher shechita, but you have a fringe benefit, and that is nacholim biyadayim mesuah voice. And the reason is the official huchshu Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says huchshu b'shechita. We're going to see Rav Shimon in a few days. Talk to Gemara. Time of the loyotzem hemdam. From the Gemara, it's mashma that the only reason it's okay to eat this basa with tummy hands is because hacha b'maya skinim, there was no dam, so the basa never became huchshu lekabel tuma. Hayotzem hemdam. And if dam would come out, nacholim biyadayim mesuah voice, then you wouldn't be allowed to. Why not? Very simple. Because the dam is machshir the basa lekabel tuma, and as a result, your hands, which are tamei, were now matama the hands. So therefore, if you had your dayim mesuah voice, if you had tamei hands, your hands are going to be matama the basa. Freak the Gemara, Rabbi. Tyrus 101, yadayim shniyah said. Anytime we're discussing hands that are tamei, meaning hands in contrast to the rest of the body, the hands are by definition a sheni l'tumah. We'll see on Amid Beis, the Gemara is going to have a hechitimtza where it's possible to have yodayim that are really a rishon l'tumah. But for now, the Gemara assumes, which is for sure the pashtus, that yodayim are always shnias l'tumah. If that's the case, the hands that are a sheni l'tumah can anyways not make this behema tumah. You know why? Because vein sheni yoyis a shlishi b'chulin. Because we said earlier, chulin can never become a shlishi l'tumah. Truma could be a shlishi l'tumah. Kachin could be a shlishi. Kachin could even be a revi l'tumah. But chulin can never be a shlishi l'tumah. If that's the case, we're dealing with shechitas chulin over here, right? So if that's the case, what's the issue anyways? The shechit shechted with hands that are tameh, you worry that he should be able to eat the meat because his hands that are tameh are going to be the tameh, the basr of the animal. No, they're not, because the basr of the animal is chulin. We're learning mesachtas, we're not learning zvachim, we're learning chulin. So we're dealing with chulin l'chayra. So if we're dealing with chulin, your dayim that are a sheni anyways can't be metameh, because sheni is not oyser shlishi l'chulin. Says the Gemara, how do you know we're talking about chulin? Says that maybe we're talking about kachin. I mean, even though we're learning mesachtas chulin, but no, maybe we're dealing with kachim. And the Gemara is going to give four reasons, ul gishmak, how we know that we're learning chulin now and we're not learning kachim. Number one, the ktani chaya. The Mishnah says, ashoichit behema chay v'oif, dilu kachim, chay b'kachim yikah, no such thing as chay b'kachim. Visu, ibe kachim, ki lo yatsim v'dem dam ksheira. Is it possible for the Mishnah to make a statement and say that you shechted kachim, you're shechting an oil, there was no dam? No worries, it's kosher. What do you mean? Who adds me the dam with tzarech? The whole tachlis of a carbon oil, all kosher. What's the ikar? It's rika. The ikar is the dam. You need kabbalah, you need alach, you need rika. So obviously it can't be kosher without dam. Vesu, a third, right? Ibe kachem, gyatam dami machsher. By kachem, dam kachem is not machsher. It's a special chiddush. There's exeris hakasav, even though mashkim a machsher, oichel to be mekabel tumo, but dam kachem is not. It's learned out from Rabbi Chibarab and Rabbi Yoichem. Dam kachem shen machsher, shenema, ala oret tishbechenu kamay. And we learn from there, dam shen nishbach kamay machsher. Dam that your lettuce pour on the floor, that has an ability to be machshel lekabel tuma. She'ein nishbach kamayim, but dam that's not nishbach kamayim, any machshel. V'su, and a fourth kasha, ibikachim. If we're dealing with kachim, ki liyotzim hem dam loy miskashri, liskri b'shchivas hakodesh. And the fourth question, if we're dealing with kachim, you don't even need it to be huchshel lekabel tuma. Dikaimela, because we know this rule, chivas hakodesh machshartam. Kachim wakes up in the morning muchshel lekabel tuma. Kachim doesn't need anything to be machsheret lekabel tuma. And if that's the case, fake to zok to gemara, four rayas from the Mishnah that the Mishnah is dealing not with shchitas kachem, but with shchitas chulin. Number one, the Mishnah mentions a chaya. There's no shchitas chaya in kachem. Number two, the Mishnah says that it could be kachem even if there's no dam. Kachem, all you need is the dam. Dam is the one thing that's ma'akev. Number three, the Mishnah says that the dam would be machshirit. Dam kachem is not machshirit. And number four, the Mishnah says you need dam to be machshirit. Kachem doesn't need anything to be machshirit lekabel tuma. Chibas hakodesh is machshartin. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Ravu. Amrav Nachman said, Amrav Ravu. Hacho, you have to say that the Mishnah is talking about bechulin. chulin. We're talking about a behemoth that was once chulin. Shelach hamakesef meiser. You bought it with meiser sheni money. So somebody had meiser sheni. He was paid it. Now he has money. He goes up to Yerushalayim and he takes his meiser sheni money and he buys a behemoth. This is the behemoth that the person shechting right now. Ud like rameir. And the mishnah like rameir. How we learn to the mishnah? Kol hatotin bi asmayim edivrei soifim. Anything that requires Tfila, Tahira, Midrabanan, Metames HaKodesh, is a Sheni L'Toma. And being that it's a Sheni L'Toma, it's Metames HaKodesh. What does that mean, Metama, when you're dealing with Toma V'Tahira? It means it makes Kachim Tame in a way that it could be Metama. That's what Yitama means. Because the Kachim becomes a Shlishi, and it could make more Kachim a Revi, U'Paisal Asa Truma. But it's only Paisal Truma. Because although it could be Metama Truma, but it can't make the Truma Tame that it should be able to be Metama more Truma. Now the truth is, it's a little misleading, because the Truma could be metama kachem. It's paisel as a truma in the truma sense. But the bottom line is umbutu bechulin uba meiser. Something that's a sheni l'tuma does not have an ability to be metama chulin. It doesn't have an ability to be metama meiser sheni. Divri rameir. The chachamim oisr me meiser. The chachamim say no. That when it comes to meiser, it's going to be oser. Which the Gemara assumes now means it could be metama meiser sheni. What's the bottom line? What do you see from it? You see machlekes remain the chachamim whether a sheni l'tuma could be metama meiser sheni or not. Says the Gemara hachem where this behemoth was Maisa Sheni. How do you have a behemoth that's Maisa Sheni? Behemoth doesn't grow from the ground. It's because you bought the behemoth with Maisa Sheni money. So all the transfer of Kedusha ended up landing on this behemoth. So you have a behemoth now that's Maisa Sheni, and this is the behemoth that you're shechting. So according to the Chachamim that say that a Sheni Latoma could make Maisa Sheni, a Shlishi Latoma, Hachab and Mayaskina, where it was technically Chulin, it was a behemoth, it was a Chaya, it's not Kachin, but at the same time, it's not ordinary Chulin, it's Maisa Sheni. And we're going according to the Chachamim that holds that a Sheni can be Oysa Maisa Sheni, a Shlishi, with like Rab Meir, who said Mefurish, that a Sheni, Kol Atom Bias Maim, is a very Soifrim, which by definition is a Sheni Latoma, is Mutta Bechulin Ube Maisa. Says the Gomask of Rav Shimi Barashi, Mimai, how do you know that? Duma Kamli Pigar. We're assuming that this machloik is remaining the chachamim in the braisa regarding a sheni l'toma. The last words, what were the words? Umuter bechulin ubemaisa divir rameir the chachamim moisim. We're assuming what it means is could it be metama or could it be not be metama? Rav Shimi Barashi said, I don't think that's pshat in the machloik. I think pasha pshat in the mishnah. That's not what it means. Rather, at kanli pligi rabbanu led rameir elabachilas maisa. A different question. The question: if somebody's tame, he's a sheni l'toma, is he allowed to eat maiser or not? Avo benegia de maiser. But as it relates to touching meiser, v'achila dechulin or eating chulin, loy pligi. And in our mishnah, you see there's an issue with touching it. V'hanegiyahi. How do you know? Midik tani nechalim yidayim mesuah voice. It said the question is nechalim. It doesn't say oichlin. It says nechalin. It sounds like could you touch it? Could you even feed it to somebody else? Mila yaskin in the kasafik lechavrei. And still, you see in our mishnah, it's going to be an issue. In other words, Rav Shimi Barashi said, I don't think that machloik is remaining the chum is a tzuchel to our mishnah because our mishnah is discussing touching the animal with hands that are tame, touching it to eat it for yourself or touching it to feed it to somebody else. Nechalin, not can I eat it, but can it be eaten? Was of doing meat. I mean, can I feed it to somebody? Can I give it to somebody else? That seems to be the question. Maybe the machloikis remain in the chachamim regarding the sheni l'tum is not whether or not I can touch it. Maybe everybody agrees I can touch it. Maybe the shaila is whether or not I'm allowed to eat it. And Rashi says the lashon of the mishnah, if you look back at it, is very mashma that way. What did the mishnah say? Kol aton bias mayin midivrei soifrim metameas hakodesh upoisal as hatruma umuter. When you think of Tumah V'Tayr, you don't talk in terms of Mutter Aser. You talk about, if I touched it, did it become Tumah? Well, I'm not allowed to be Metama Chulin. And that Mutter Aser sounds like, can I eat it? Is there but the question over there is with regards to being allowed to eat it or not. And there's a Shittas Chachamim that says that a Sheni L'Tumah is not allowed to eat Ma'is Sheni. But no one ever said that if a Sheni L'Tumah touches Ma'is Sheni, that it's necessarily going to become Tumah Amarap. El Amarap, Papa, Zerah, Papa said, you're right. That's not what the Mishnah's talking about. Again. We have a Mishnah that says that somebody's shechting an animal, he shechts it with hands that are tame. If dam came out, then the basar becomes mukhshal kabel tumah. You can't eat it with hands that are tame. If dam didn't come out, then you could eat. So obviously, there's a concern over that this shoychin may be b'tam. The Gemara's kasha is that we assume we're discussing chulin. And if we're discussing chulin, then a sheni is anyways not oisa shlishi when it comes to chulin. So what's the whole tumah shayla over here? This person has hands that are tame, stam yodai mashnir is l'tumah. So what's the issue? So the Gemara says, number one, how do you know we're talking about chulin?
four rayas. So the first teres that the Gemara gave was, and maybe we don't mean regular chulam. Maybe what we're talking about is ma'isa sheni. But that the Gemara knocked out. Elam rapap, rapap, you're right. We're dealing with chulin, and we're dealing with a person's hands that are tame. And it's true, ordinarily, a person's hands that are tame are a sheni l'tome. And a sheni is not oisa shlishi when it comes to chulin. But there is a hechatimtza where you could have hands that are tame, and it's a rishon l'tome. For Rav Shimon Alozi, and it's going to Rav Shimon Alozi. Time you learn to the Brisa, in yadayim tchilas l'chulin. It's never possible to have hands that are going to be a rishon l'tome. Rav Shimon Alozi, oimim, mishum ramei, yadayim tchilas l'chulin. No, it's possible to have hands that are going to be a rishon l'tome for chulin. V'shniyos l'tshuma. And they're going to be a sheni l'tshuma. Faith to Gemara, that doesn't make sense. Tchilos l'chulin in l'tshuma loy. How could it be more chomer for chulin than it is for tshuma? Hachi kamar. Tchilos af l'chulin. Its hands could sometimes be viewed as a rishon l'tshuma, even for chulin. Shniyos l'tshula in l'chulin loy. But the bottom line is that we're going according to Rav Shimon Elazar, who said in a braisa that you could have your dayan that are a rishon l'tshuma. Our Mishnah's talking about hacha b'maya skino where the hands were a rishon, being that it's a rishon, it'd be oisa chulon. Shane, he says, where do we have a makar for this? What is the case? What's the hechetimtza? We have yadayim that's a rishon. Thomas the Gemara said, time went to the price hechnis yada lebeis hamenuga. We know that if somebody walks into a house that's a beis hamenuga that has a nega, he becomes tame. But midday raisa, you only become tame if your entire guf enters the house. But if only part of you enters the house, it's really a sugi masechtes vachim, be a b'miktza shma be. Or be a mixer's loishma beer. But the halach is that midday rice is definitely not tummy. So this price is discussing where somebody entered a beis hamenuga with his hands. So the halach is yodav tchila is divrei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says his hands become a rishonal tummy. Chama Rabbi Chama says yodav shni his hands become a sheni tummy. The Kuli Yama says the be mixer loishma beer. Everybody holds be a loishma beer. So it's not really considered that he went in. And it's only midura banan because the Chama made a gzera. We want your hands to become tummy if they enter a beis hamenuga. Gzera atu. What happens if your entire body enters? What's the machloikis? Rabbi Akiva said that now the Chachamim went yishmak machloikis and said that the hand should be tame. The gather of the Durabanon was, let's view the hands as if it's the entire guf. And just like if the entire guf would enter, the guf would become a rishon l'toma. So too, if the hands go in, the hands are also going to be a rishon l'toma. Umar Savar and the Chachamim that argue with Rabbi Akiva hold yadayim ki yadayim da'alma. It's true, the Chachamim wanted the yadayim to become tamei midrabanan. Gzeira atu if your entire guf goes in. But what kind of tumah did they give it? They gave it the tumah that all yadayim has. And all yadayim is a sheni l'toma. So this one also is a sheni l'toma. The bottom line is, you want to know where it's possible to have your dayim that are going to be tame and they're going to be a rishon l'toma. I just found it. It's possible if a person stuck his hands into a beis hamenuga, be a b'mikzah shloishma, be a semidei raisi and atame, midi rabbanon you are. Rabbi Akiva says that the gather of the tumah de rabbanon is ke'en the tumah de raisa. If a person would go with his entire guf into the beis hamenuga, he'd be a rishon l'toma. If your hands go in, it's going to be a rishon l'toma as well. Bottom line is, we had a kasha in the Mishnah. You worried about being matame chulin. L'chura yadayim is always a sheni l'tuma. Sheni is not always a shlichi l'chulin. Hacha b'mayaskina, where a person stuck his hands into a beis hamenuga. Be even mixed with loishma. Be it's tami midrabano. Like Rabbi Akiva, what kind of tuma does it get? Like the ke'en, the tuma they rise, it gets original l'tuma. Thus, it could be oisa chulin sheni. That's the teretz. So, who is the Tana of the Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Faith to Gemara, if you're holding Cheshbin, why does the time of the Mishnah have to be Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Could have said more pashat. For look, make Rabbi Akiva. Why? Well, let's just make Rabbi Akiva. Dama yadav tchila is saying. I mean, at the end of the day, Rabbi Shimon Elazar had to come on to a Rabbi Akiva. There's no Rabbi Shimon Elazar without Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva essentially said the same thing Rabbi Shimon Elazar said. He said that it's possible to have your dime that are original tumba. So why are we saying the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Elazar and he's going like Rabbi Akiva? Let the Mishnah be Rabbi Akiva. No, no. So why is it better if the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Elazar? So Rashi, because everybody knows Rabbi Akiva and Shas is called Rabbi Akiva Stimta. And one of the reasons he's called Rabbi Akiva Stimta is because Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir Alibid Rabbi Akiva. It all traces Stam Mishnah, the source to our Mishnahis that we have. The source of Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, Alice Kunt Mitairas is Rabbi Akiva. Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. So if you have Rabbi Akiva, it makes much more sense to say that we're going to Rabbi Akiva instead of saying that it's going according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we didn't shtal to Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva, there would have been mocking to say, Dilma ki kamar, Rabbi Akiva, hanimi lebetruma v'kachim dechamiri. True, Rabbi Akiva said there's a concept of Yadayim getting a rishon l'tuma. But maybe only with regards to truma and kachim. Avalachulin shnias havyan. Meaning, if your hands
that entered a Beis HaMenorah would touch Truma, it would make the Truma a Sheni, which would allow that Truma to make more Truma a Shlishi, which would allow now to make Kachem a Revi. But it's only in the context of Truma and Kachem that we look at the hands as a Rishon. Maybe as it relates to Chulin, not. Avala Chulin Shnias Havyon. But from Shimon Alazar, you see, not that way. He holds that it's possible to have your Dayan Tchilois, what was Rabbi Shimon Alazar's Lashon? Rabbi Shimon Alazar, Oymer Mishum Rab Meir, your Dayan Tchilois Le Chulin. He said Mefurish that it works for Chulin. So Shimon Alazar works in our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva, we're not sure. Because Dilma Ki Kamer Rabbi Akiva, Hani Mili B'Truma V'Kachim, but as it relates to Chulin, maybe not. But the Gemara says, I think the Tana of the Mishnah could still be Rabbi Akiva. You know why? Because of a whole nother Rabbi Akiva. The whole question was predicated on a fact that we know that a Sheni is not Oysa Shlishi B'Chulin. It just so happens not everybody agrees with that fact. There's one Tana who doesn't hold that way. You know that Tana is? It's none other than Rabbi Akiva. The time we learned in the Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah that's brought down in Masechta Soita. Which day? The day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became Nasi, Nisrab Asaf Solon, Toichi Gabare, Brachas Dav Chav Ches, that day. So, Bay Bayoim Dorish Rabbi Akiva, Bechol Kli Cheres, any Kli Cheres, where's the Pasik? Asha Yipo Mehem El Toichi, so Kli Cheres has a very special ability to be metama. What's the halacha? That anything that falls into the circumference, even if it's only in the aver of the Kli Cheres, if there's a sheretz, for example, of the Kli Cheres, the sheretz is matama what's inside. Additionally, if you have something sitting in the Kli Cheres, and now a sheretz falls into the aver of the Kli Cheres, it could be matama as well. The Gemara discussed this pasuk in very great detail in Zvachim Daf Gimel. Either way, so says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Darshim in this pasuk, it's kol Kli Cheres asher yipa mehem el toichai, kol asher b'soichai yitma. And Rabbi Kiva was bothered, grammar. It shouldn't have said kol asher b'soichai yitma, it should have said kol asher b'soichai tame. Said Rabbi Akiva, tame loy nem el yitma. The Tami Acherim, a tremendous chiddush, limud, you know, we learn from here that if a piece of bread falls into a klicheres where there's a sheretz, limud al kikar sheni, shu oisa shlishi b'chulin. That kikar, not only is it Tami, but yitma, it could be matama. What could it be matama? Everything. It could even be matama chulin. In other words, even though the kikar is a sheni latoma, the kikar fell into the klicheres where there was a sheretz. So the kikar became Tami from the klicheres. Right? The Klicheres is the Rishon. It was Metama the Kikar. The Kikar is a Sheni. And Kol HaShev HaSoichei Na Tomei B'Yitma. You see that the Kikar could be Metama, everything, even Chulin. So said Rabbi Akiva, Boy B'Yayim Darish Rabbi Akiva, that a Sheni is Ayesha Shrishu L'Chulin. So again, so what's the whole issue over here? Why don't we just say the time of the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. It's true, you have a Mishnah that's Sheni is Ayesha Shlishi, but Rabbi Kiva Shita is that a Sheni could be Oysa Shlishi. The Gemara says, Doma Hani Mila B'Tumah Dei the Rabban Loi. Even though it's true, Rabbi Kiva holds that a Sheni is Oysa Shlishi, that's only with regards to Tumah Dei Raisa. But maybe as it relates to Tumah Dei Rabban, not our mission is discussing your Dayan Mesua voice with the hands with Tame. Stam Yadayim is only a Sheni L'Tumah Dei Rabbanon. Maybe by a Sheni L'Tumah Dei Rabbanon, you don't have this Ha'alacha Excel. So just before we end, in the spirit of a hashtag Sunday style daf, just to conclude today's daf, Me'ain, the first part of the daf, with a kasha from the Minchas Chinuch. Just the kasha. The punchline is the kasha. The Minchas Chinuch prefaces this question with the following akdama. He says, "V'echtev l'cha kushya nifla tehilo l'kel yisbarach." So he's giving shvach v'yidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the kasha. Now, usually a kasha is a problem. You don't want a kasha. But this kasha is the punchline. So either way, so what's Minchas Chinuch's kasha? It's in Moisach HaShabbos. It's a mitzvah lamid beis. At the end, after he goes through the lamid has malachis, it's ois beis, page kuf ayin ches in the new Minchas Chinuch. We had a Mishnah in Mesechtes Chulin, Daf Yud, it's a cheshbet. We had a Mishnah in Mesechtes Chulin, Daf Yud, Alad Manav. The Mishnah said, Hashoichet b'Shabbos, Afal Pisha Meschayev ben Nafshoi, Shechitas Ekshev. If somebody shechs on Shabbos, even b'meze, even though he's chayev miso, the halacha is, his shechit is going to be kosher. Tois asks Akasha, that why is a shechit a kosher? Why isn't he a mumma l'chal Shabbos? And a mumma l'chal Shabbos has a din of a guy. So Tois says that the only time a mumma l'chal Shabbos has a din of a guy is if he's mumma l'chal Shabbos before Hesia. Maybe he's talking about where he didn't do it before Hesia. Tois says another teretz, that maybe he only becomes a mummer after the first shechita. But for the first shechita itself, not. In Simon and Beis, we spoke at this rate when we learned the Gemara and Daf Yudal Amanal. But the truth is, there's another very, very important kasha that we didn't speak at on the time. And that is the Maritz kasha. Marit asks a kasha that we know there's machlekes Abaye v'Rava in the beginning of Masechtes Tmura. Kol nilsa da'ovid rachmano lo'y sali. I'ovid mahani or I'ovid lo'y mahani. Abaye says that if a person does something that the Torah said he's not supposed to do, it doesn't have any impact on the chalois. The effect goes into effect regardless. Rava says no. Kol milsa da amar rachmana loy savid. The halacha is e avid loy mahani. If you do something that the Torah told you not to do, the halacha is that if you do it loy mahani. It's afraid the marita kasha hashoichet b'shabes. He's violated one of the lametes melachis. If he violated one of the lametes melachis, l'chayra he was over a milsa da amar rachmana loy savid. We paskin like Rav. This is not one of the Yalkagans. We paskin kol milsa da rachmana loy savid. If that's the case, why shchitasik sheir? Why don't you say kol milsa da avid rachmana loy savid yavid loy mahani? A gevaldig akasha. Said the Marut, a very important insight. The only time you say kol milsa da avid rachmana loy savid yavid loy mahani, that's only if by saying loy mahani you're going to accomplish something. The purpose of saying loy mahani is if the iser is contingent on the chalois, so then you'll say, oh, if the chalois never went into effect anyways, so it comes that you didn't do the iser. So to fadin the iser, there's a klal of kol milsa da avid rachmana loy savid yavid loy mahani. But if benkach u benkach, the aveiru will have been done, and you're not accomplishing anything by saying yavid loy mahani, there the halacha is yavid mahani. So said the Marit, in, what's the iser of shoichet the Shabbos? Netilas neshama, you killed an animal. Whether the shchitas kosher, the shchitas pasul, the animal's dead. Regardless, you did the netilas neshama, which means that saying yavid loy mahani is not going to fadin anything as far as the iser goes. If that's the case, you don't have the klal yavid loy mahani. But says the Marit, you're going to tell me it's not posh. Why? Because everybody knows that mekalkel b'Shabbos is potter. The only time you chayev for doing malach on Shabbos is if you're masakel when you do the malach. But if you're mekalkel on Shabbos, you're potter. So tiny the marit, very geschmack. If the shechita is kosher, so then you were masakel when you did the ma'isa shechita. But if the shechita is posh, you're going to be left with an avela. If you're going to be left with an avela, you're a mekalkel. Mekalkel b'Shabbos is potter. So let's say yavid loy mahani, so that you'll have now a mekalkel. If you're mekalkel, you just fadin the malach Shabbos, because the Makalga b'Shabbos is potter. But says Mar, it's a tais. Because although it's true that a yid is only allowed to eat from an animal if it has a kosher shechita, but a guy is not allowed to eat from a live animal, but he's allowed to eat from a dead animal, afilu b'nechir ba'alma. Even if he didn't have a kosher shechita. If that's the case, even a shechita psula, a shechita that's an avela, is still a maisa mesakin. Because it's mesakin the animal for the benoyach. Because the benoyach previously was not allowed to eat it because it was Eivim b'nachai. Now it's not Eivim b'nachai anymore. So says the Marit, hafla v'fela, that's why there's no yavad loy mahani. You're right. Technically, ashechit b'shabbos, you should say, kom b'sudav rachman alay sabad yavad loy mahani. But the hectomy is so that the only time you say Yavad Loy Mahani is if you can accomplish something by saying it. But if the Isra is going to be done regardless, it's not, then there's no reason to say Yavad Loy Mahani. Here the Isra is Netilas Neshama. And whether the Shechita was kosher, the Shechita wasn't kosher, you kill the animal. You'll tell me no. Because if the Shechita is kosher, you are Mesakin. If the Shechita is possible, you are Mekalko. It's not true, because even if the Shechita is possible, you are still Mesakin. You are Mesakin for a Ben Oyech. Till now it was Eva Menachai. Now it's not Eva Menachai anymore. Either way, says the Minchas Chinuch, that the Hadvarim Mefursamim, Ayin Shar Melech Perakimel Migerish and Aloch Yotes, who vote Dvarav Bechibur Zek Kamapa'amim. These are the words of the Marit. Stating that, says the Minchas Chinuch, I heard a Kasha Nifla. And with one hakdom, one little bit of leap of faith that you have to take, not such a chiddush, but there's just one assumption that you have to make. Says the Minchas Chinuch, that's pasha to me. That what would be if a person did an Isser? And by saying Yavid Loy Mahani, we can't fardin, we can't correct the entire Isser, but we can correct a little bit of the Isser. Would that be enough to say Yavid Loy Mahani? Says the Minchas Chinuch, I believe yes. Meaning, as long as we can fardin a little bit of the Isser, I think that would be enough for us to say that Loy Mahani. Because Loy Mahani is said anytime we can accomplish something, and even if I can't accomplish saving the entire Avera, but if I can save part of the Avera, I think that would be enough. If that's the case, that's Minchas Chinuch, based on today's daf, Chulon daf lamed gimel amud aleph, I'm going to ask you a bomba kasha. And that is, we know the halacha of Riba B'Shiyura. Riba B'Shiyura is a sugya in Mesechtis, Menachis. The Gemara over there discusses a case where there was a chayla sheyesh v'sakana. And the doctor said that we need to give this person grapes. The problem is there were no grapes. There were two, there was a tree, there were two branches. This chayla needed two grapes.
grapes. One branch has two grapes, the other branch has three grapes. So what's the halacha? You cut the branch that has two grapes. Why? Because here you're cutting less grapes. Now you're going to tell me, what's the difference? At the end of the day, it's one maisa ktsira. It's true, it's only one maisa ktsira, but there's a concept of ribui b'shiura, that you want to be mema'it in the shira as much as possible. Meaning, if two people are over the same chil Shabbos, but one person had a bigger shir than the other, the one that had a bigger shir did more of an avera. There was more echos, speaking qualitatively, chil Shabbos. That's halacha ribui b'shiura. Most Rishonim hold ribui b'shiura is the rabbanan. But there's a shita saran. The ran shita is that ribui b'shiura is the rice. Says the Mechas Chinuch, let's talk about a chulin case. What would be if there's a chil sheish by sakon and Shabbos, and the doctor said, we have to shecht for this person. There's no bus in the veil. Right, we have to shecht for this person. And there's two animals. There's a big, gross animal, and then there's a behemoth daka. There's a smaller animal. Says the Mechas Chinuch, it's pasha like the ran. Midai raisa, you'd be obligated to shecht the smaller animal. Because it's riba b'shiura. Why go ahead and shecht the bigger animal when you're being marbin the shear? It's better to go ahead and shecht the smaller animal. If that's the case, says the Mechas Chinuch, in today's daf, we saw an unbelievable idea. We saw that the halacha is that every single time a new shecht, an animal, there's a question, could a benoyach eat from the bnei me'ayim, or could the benoyach not eat from the bnei me'ayim? What's the shayla? The shayla is, because as soon as you sever the kona and the veshet, anything attached to the kona and the veshet, the mancha b'dekula damya, it's as if they're not in the body of the animal anymore. The problem is the animal's still alive. The animal is still mefarcheses. In other words, it's technically every menacha. For you, it's not an issue, because as long as there's a shechita, it could be alive and well. A bempekua you're allowed to eat without a shechita. Because despite the fact that it's alive, without, because it had the shechita in the mother, because there was a maisa shechita. But a guy, the benachir italian milsa, it's not telling a shechita, it's going to be an issue. Stating that, the Gemara said it's not that way. Rapapa said he heard, he wanted to ask the kasha, he didn't ask it, but it turned out Rapapa was right. Why? Because me, it immediately Yisrael, shari, meaning, even though in theory the bnei me'ayim of an animal was always eved menachai, still a goy is allowed to eat the bnei me'ayim. Because if he is allowed to eat the bnei me'ayim, a goy is allowed to eat the bnei me'ayim. Stating that the tefuah shor and the tashbitz and the pritayer, as brought down in the pischei tshuva and simen chav zayin, there's a whole tshuva from the chasam sofer, by the way, on this in the other day at simen yud tes, where the achrayim discuss with the shoyl and a kontras, and they discuss that that's only going to be true if it's the behemah's shchuta, because then it's mutter to the yitz and mela has to be mutter to the good, because of me a committee. But what happens if the behemoth is an avela? Over there, you're not going to have this halacha. Over there, you're not going to have the me a committee. If that's the case, it's going to be usser. If that's the case, it's going to be usser for the guy to eat it. That's the case, says the Minchas Chinuch. Hashoichet b'Shabbos. What's the halacha? Shchitas ekshera. Freak the Marit Akasha. Why shchitas ekshera? Say Yavalei Mahani. She says, because the Yavalei Mahani is not going to accomplish anything. Why? Because at the end of the day, even if you tell me the shchita is not kosher, you still kill the animal, and you were still misacking the animal. Why? Because the Benayas let it. He says, 1 second. I'll tell you where Chavsach and Afkamino. If shchitas ekshera, that means a Yidzel let it eat from it. If a Yidzel let it eat from it, then a guy could eat from it, from the entire animal, even from the Bnei Me'ai. If the shechita is possible, then it's going to come out that it's an avela. If it's an avela, it's true you were misakin for the guy. But there's one part of the animal you were not misakin, that you were makalkal. That's the bnei me'ayim. Because the bnei me'ayim is eved menachai. The only reason the guy's allowed to eat is because the yid's allowed to eat it. But for that, you need shechitas ekshera. If shechitas is psula, then it's going to be eved menachai. That means the guy won't be able to eat it. So it comes out by saying that the shechita is possible. What you're fadining is you're being memayit in the sheer of how much nice or tikkun of the tilas hashama you did. If the shechita is kosher, you're masakin the entire animal. That means in the sheer of the tilas neshama, it's the entire animal. But if you're going to tell me that it's an avela, so it's true there was the tilas neshama, and it's true you were masakin, but there's one chelik of the animal you were masakin, that chelik you were makalko. So let's say you yavid loy mahani, not to save the entire issa, you can't save it, but you could save part of the Yisr. You could save the Reba B'Shiura. And why shouldn't that be enough to say Shchitas Ipsul? This is a kasha that really spans so many sugyas ashas. He begins the kasha, the echt of l'chakushi nefla, tehilo l'kel yisbarach. He concludes the kasha with v'hi kushi nefla. I think any terrace is anticlimactic. So I think we'll leave it over here.